Good morning, New Life Fellowship. So good to be with you today. This is the day the Lord has made, right? And what a blessing to be in fellowship with one another, to be able to just embrace and enjoy what God's in love with, and it's people. He's passionate about people, and you're sitting next to one of them. Amen. So why don't you turn over and tell them you're special. Just let them know they're special to Jesus. Amen. And for all the first-time guests, we want to thank you for being a part of this wonderful gathering. We're going to talk about Jesus today and what his purpose is and his plans are. And we're glad to have you. Let's give the guest a hand clap. Thank you for being with us. Amen. We've been talking about love, life, money, and hope, and that includes love too. Amen. Today, our subject title is Intentional Generosity. Intentional Generosity. Everybody say intentional generosity. Amen. It's a little bit different than just generosity. Amen. We do some things intentional from heaven's lens. And so we're in a season right now where generosity is the focus. And from the church's perspective, generosity is our focus all year long, because God so loved the world that he, amen, and he gives life to us, and he wants us to be able to give life to one another. Have you ever been in a situation where you need to be encouraged, and it took someone willing to give some time to encourage you and strengthen you and edify you? Was that a blessing to you? Or did you know that our world is full of people needing a blessing right now? And you and I have tasted of that wonderful thing that is huge from heaven, and that's life. God wants us to give it away. And during these holidays, we'll try all kind of approaches, hoping that something will work. But we've all found out that most of the things that we attempt to, amen, give or be generous in really doesn't work at all. When you back up and look at it from the right lens, we're looking for better ways to do this holiday thing. And so, but God has a way that works. He has a way that does. In Haggai 1:5, I want to read that scripture text again and challenge everybody to consider this. The Lord Almighty says this in verse 5, give careful thought to your ways. God wants us to think about our lives. He wants to think about what we do. He wants each one of us to ask ourselves the question, amen, how's it going? Amen, how's things working? He says, you've planted much but have harvested little. Anybody ever felt like you're really trying hard but not getting very far? He said, you eat but never have enough. You get a little from what hard work you put into it. You drink but never have your fill. You put on clothes but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in them or in it. God's telling us that there are ways that are not working, and it looks like these ways should be working. Based on our personal lens, it should be working. But what the Lord Almighty has to say is give careful thoughts to your ways. Give careful thought to your ways. And we've been talking about good finance management. When we do it right, it affects every area of our life. And so if you haven't heard the message Beyond the Numbers, you know, because if you work the numbers, you can budget this thing. Mr. Budget, the bad guy, you can come out at the end if you budget right. But then God has some things that he wants us to consider that goes beyond the numbers. And you will begin to see the numbers from God's perspective, and then you can get through these dark moments and challenges in your life, that hole that you've dug yourself into. Last week we talked about life and how that life will kind of just give us a few dark moments. And these dark moments develop in our life and cause us to feel like there's no way out. Have you ever said that before? I'm in a situation and there's really no way out. I don't know how to get out. What's interesting, whether it's finance or whether it's just life itself, how you get into this place where you don't know a way out is the same way you get out of it. And God's principles will get you out of these dark times. But you got to know what they are. You got to be open to them. You got to consider your ways. Give careful thoughts to your ways. Paul addressed a pastor Amen. Pastor Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, one of his sons in the Lord, he says this to him. He said, command those who are rich in this present world. And most of you just said today when I said that, he said, well, I'm checking out of this part of the message because that's not me. Right? All of us know somebody rich. It's just not me. But the truth is, this statement applies to all of us today. We certainly live in a great country, don't we? Go to a good spirit-filled church. We live in Texas, right? Woo! Oh, okay. So we're blessed, right? And but some of you are thinking, are you sure? Because it just doesn't feel that way. I don't feel like I'm rich. Studies prove that if you have a household income of $45,000 a year, that's not a single income, that's a household income, that you are in the top 1% of the world as it relates in wages. And you're saying right now, boy, I just don't feel like that. Huh? Wow. Please hear me today. It's important that you believe and know that you are blessed. It's important that you know you are blessed. And somebody says, I want the 45. I'll take the 45. No, you want to be blessed. You want to know something today. And God wants you to catch his focus on who you are. And in case you don't know it, God says because of what he did, you're rich. You're rich. I know this is hard to get around your mind when you're looking through a different lens than the rest of the world's looking at. But right now, you want to know, even if you lived in a third world country, from God's lens, if you understand how he sees you and how special you are, you'll take advantage of your identity and know that you are blessed. The fact is, when we know that we're rich, when we know it, we act differently. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Well, no, I don't believe I'm rich, Pastor. Hold on just a minute. When you know that you're rich, you complain less when you know it. You want to know some rich people problems? Anybody want to? Here's a rich person problem. Standing in front of a closet full of clothes and you say, I don't have anything to wear. Oh, that's a rich person problem. Did y'all get that? What about complaining because the cable man was late fixing your service? My goodness, we got some rich people in this place. Have you ever had a bad travel experience where you got in your flight, it got snowed in, your luggage got lost, and you just couldn't wait to get to the first survey and let them know how bad your experience was? It's a rich person problem. It's important that we be comfortable with this concept because the Bible is comfortable with this concept. Jesus is very comfortable with this concept. When I say concept, I'm talking about realizing we're blessed. Amen. And when we know we're blessed, we complain less. Did y'all get that? But if I'm challenging, amen, the fact that I'm blessed because I think I deserve this or I deserve that, who told me that? Amen. In 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, you know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus? Though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor so that by his poverty he could make us rich. Is this in your Bible, ladies and gentlemen? I believe it is. Why does God want you and me rich? And so all of a sudden everybody's beginning to discern. This rich idea is a little bit different definition than I thought. Amen. Why does God want us in this condition of rich and or slash blessed? Why does he want us there? The next chapter addresses the rich idea. In 2 Corinthians 9:11, you will be made rich in every way. That means marriage, emotions, relationships, finances, ideas. You will be rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. Every time you take a breath, God wants you to use that breath to be like Him. God so loved the world that He... Every time you breathe in, God's saying, will you give it to me? Because I want to use you to identify the fact that I exist and that I'm everywhere in this earth. He needs us, amen, to understand who we are so that through us and the identity He's invested in us, we can be like Him. For those who have heard the prosperity theology idea, and some of you haven't, but some have, and you're wondering, are we of that group, that prosperity theology? No, we're not of that group that's called, that uses the idea of prosperity theology. Why? Because the prosperity theology says God wants you to be wealthy so that you can be wealthy. And that's not true. God does not want you to be wealthy just to be wealthy. God does want you to have more than you need, though. He does want that. He wants you to be blessed, amen, with more than you need so that you can be a blessing. That's how God wants it. And so the world around us, it's about them. It's about God and others. When we get up, it's about God and others. It's never about us. Why is that, Pastor? For you that don't understand, 2,000 years ago, He made it about you. He hung on that cross and died your death and my death. He made it about us. And He gave everything He had in order so that we'd have life, we'd be blessed, and have it more abundantly, right? He did what He did so that we would be positioned so that He could use us to become a blessing. And so it's not about us today. It was about, if you'd have been the only person on earth, I really have this heart towards my God now. He'd have died just for you if you'd have been the only one. And let's digress for a minute. He did just that because He died for Adam. He died for Adam that failed 6,000 years ago so that Adam could be redeemed and all of Adam's kids, he could be like their God. God redeemed you to be a blessing. So what's the problem with this picture among Christians as it relates to us having more than we need to be that blessing? So you see, most rich people are not very good at being rich. Studies show that the more that Americans make, the less they give. The more they spend, the less they give. The giving people in our nation are qualified as poor people. That's the giving group in our world. Isn't that interesting? And the problem, the more people have, the more they put faith in their stuff to be their source instead of God being their source. That's the problem. And so this is why there's a verse that says to this pastor, Pastor Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:17, command those who are rich in this present world, command them to do what? To do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. So we learn how to be rich. Anybody need to learn how to be rich? All right. How do we do this? In good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. Amen. This is good for all of us today because I know the flesh don't like it, but the spirit inside of you, the God DNA, is saying, yes, tell me more, because I've got to connect with my identity. I want to be who I'm designed to be. I'm not happy, amen, trying to hoard. I'm not happy trying to get. I'm not happy with just having stuff. I need the answer. And intentional generosity is very key. This is why we have a message like this in the season that we're in, because we want to be good, rich people. We want to be good, blessed people. This is probably the best season of the year to be reminded of that. Why is that? Because the holidays still afford us opportunities we don't have all year long. Very important opportunities. Be sure you understand this. The message isn't going to, amen, today, meant to make you feel guilty. It's not to make you emotional about not being generous as you should be. And why is this? Because God provides everything that you have for your enjoyment. Everything you have, He meant for you to play in His playground and enjoy it and have fun. And the enemy don't want you to feel that way. Everybody agree with that? He wants you to feel guilty. He wants you to be emotional over what you failed and flunked in and what you're not doing well. And so I want to encourage you today. God sees you as like, wow, man, he's excited about you. He ain't looking at your flaws. He ain't looking up at the mess ups yesterday. What he's saying is, come follow me today. And when Jesus says, come follow me, it's like, dude, why wouldn't I want to follow him? I mean, he's the one having all the fun. He's the one right in the mix doing things that are making things change and touching all these lives and these relationships are coming together. Why wouldn't I want to follow him? And so today, I hope that you're hearing Jesus say, come follow me. Amen. Is that okay? Because this message is a good news message. It's a message of hope. You get to be who you're designed to be. Amen. And so God doesn't mind you having stuff. He minds it if stuff has you. Is this okay? Amen. He doesn't want you to be guilty, but he does want you to be responsible. So it's important that you not feel bad about having the stuff you have. He just wants you to be a good steward of it. Amen. Using his spirit to lead and guide you. He wants you to be aware of recognizable opportunities that he personally approves. And it's my job up here in serving you as pastor is to not to tell you what to do, not to encourage you to listen to him, because he wants to tell you what to do. And I want to show you opportunities. Can I do that today? One of the first opportunities that New Life Fellowship of us, amen, doing generosity intentional is the legacy offering. And some of you are saying, well, what's that? Amen. Our legacy offering is going to be about our next generation. It's going to be about our children. And just over 2 months from this day, on December the 11th, we'll be receiving a legacy offering. Amen. It's not a pressure offering. It's important that you take your time, think about it, pray about it, plan for it. Sit down with your family. Talk about how God's blessed you. And as a family, talk about how you can be a part of the next generation. What would be your part, your portion in involving yourself in the church of tomorrow? Amen? Is that okay? This offering will be designated just for how we minister to children. Amen? And it's important that our children get this generosity from you in your fellowship with God, instead of depending on Santa Claus to give it to them. Oh, did I hit the trigger something? Amen. Jesus is greater than Santa Claus. And the church is the mother of us all, right? And all good gifts come from. Whew, hallelujah. We might get this here in a minute. We don't want our children waiting every year for Santa Claus to be their source. We need to be their source. They need to see the church in action. The reason the millennials don't want to hear us talking about Jesus and showing them Jesus is because they're tired of the talk. Show me. And so intentional generosity is how we reveal Christ to the next generation. And they need our help. And this is no pressure. We're just asking you and everyone to pray, to ask Jesus what he wants you to do as his steward. And you've got plenty of time to plan. The second opportunity is random acts of kindness. Last couple of weeks ago, I introduced to you the random acts of kindness card. Amen. This little card here is an opportunity for everybody, amen, to take advantage of being kind to someone. And on this card, it lets that person that gets this card know that there's something extra about you that I want you to know. God loves you. This is just something extra to show you that you're special to God. And as believers in Christ, we want to ramp up this random acts of kindness in this season. We want to ramp it up. Matter of fact, find somebody today before you leave in your family right here, in your church family, and do an active, random act of kindness and do something for them. Blow their mind. They're not expecting it. But just be generous to someone before you leave today. And before next Sunday, in your community, if you're at the Starbucks line, buy your person's coffee behind you. Hand them a card and let them know that God loves them and that they're special. They're not by themselves. If you're going to work, buy a box of Krispy Kreme donuts and put 12 of these in the box. Everybody get a donut, they get a card. They represent, oh, God says you're special. He loves you. It's time to ramp up generosity and start blowing people's socks off. Amen. Give that waitress, when you go out and eat it, an extra percentage of tip. Blow her mind. Blow his mind. Amen. It's time to do this. And the legacy offering is something that we do through New Life Fellowship. But this act of kindness card is something about you and someone else. You and touching someone else's life. It's coming from you to someone else. Amen. And so this is one of the best ways to remind people that God loves them. The third opportunity at New Life Fellowship that we have that can be generosity that's intentional is giving hope. Giving hope. And that is our House of Mercy Foundation. If you're not aware of our House of Mercy Foundation for New Life Fellowship, this is about orphans, it's about widows, it's about the elderly, amen, about single mothers. You can bless many hurting people through the House of Mercy efforts. House of Mercy remains passionate and committed to children and to orphans and for single moms. And we can't let that down. Matter of fact, you know, in this season of giving, Julie Soto, if you that's a point of contact. She's already got vouchers for families that are less fortunate so that during the Thanksgiving season, they're going to be able to have dinner. Amen. They're going to be blessed. And we've got vouchers to go find families. If you know of a family in need, amen, it's an opportunity to be generous intentionally. Join with the effort. Amen. And it's time to touch lives, isn't it? Ask the Lord, what's he saying to you? Be a part of that. The next initiative that I want to bring to your attention that has nothing to do with money. Why? Why is that? Because our greatest need doesn't have anything to do with money. Our greatest need isn't tied to temporal suffering, but rather it's tied to eternal suffering. Sunday services and small groups. During our holiday season, people are more interested in the gospel than any other season. Why is that? Multiple surveys reveal that suicide attempts, suicide in general, happen between November, Thanksgiving season, and December, the Christmas season. And also included is the Mother Day, prior and after Mother Day season. It's all about relational celebrations that depression comes in like a flood. People feel, like they're separate and that they don't have anything. And so during this season, more people are interested in finding out about God than any other season. And so it's a great opportunity to invite people to our Sunday service so that they can taste and see that the Lord is good. They can feel the atmosphere of the presence of God through our worship time. The children can experience the Spirit of God and decide, you know, hey, there's a better way. Small groups, you can't get around small groups, ladies and gentlemen. If you're not part of a small group, you're not going to be free. It's just the way it is. Sunday service is not going to set you free and deliver you and keep you. It's just not going to do it. From one Sunday to the next, you have to be part of a small group. You got to be connected to relationships that you can invest in. They can invest in you. Amen. Behavioral change, and every one of us knows we need to change, don't we? We need Jesus. But behavioral change, amen, is more affected by people that join a small group where they're among their peers, amen, that's going through the same things they're going through, and they're able to communicate. The way Israel come out of Egypt, when Egypt was their slave owners, Israel comes out of Egypt because they grouped on their way out. This is how they did it. They took the lamb, which represents Jesus Christ, the lamb, and they killed the lamb. And they took the blood of that lamb and painted it over the doorpost of their homes. And the enemy, amen, of their life, which is the death angel, he passed over them because of the blood of the lamb. But they were required to eat the lamb. And in order to eat the lamb, most of the families had to invite other families in order to eat the lamb. And they had to be dressed and ready because they were coming out of bondage. They were being freed. The reason we group is because we're coming out of bondage and we're being freed. Freedom happens when we group together. Amen. You can come to Sunday service and you can hear the preacher preach and you can say, oh, man, it was a good message. It touched my life. And really never really connect to anybody in this room. But you get to a small group and it's on. And the reason most people won't join a small group is because the enemy that's tormenting them won't let them get there, number one. And in order to get there, amen, they've got to deal with some difficult people. Anybody don't like difficult people? But I promise you, if you'll get around what Jesus loves, and it's people, whether they're difficult or not, he will meet you there and free you. We're in a season where people need to be freed. And the most generous act that you can show someone is invite them to a service. Tell them, I'll sit with you at the service. Invite them to a small group. Say, I'll be right there. And if there's anybody that's difficult, I'm standing with you. You're going to be okay. Get people connected. It's needful in our world right now. Meeting people's need where they hurt is social justice, and it's cool. Social justice is great. However, keep this in mind. Social justice without spiritual justice is not justice. It looks like love, but the greatest gift is being withheld. This is important. The greatest gift is eternal life. And so if we feed people and they don't make it to heaven, we lose. I didn't say stop feeding people. We want to do that. But when you feed people, feed them Jesus too. Give them Jesus as well. Do generosity intentional. The greatest gift we deliver as the church is not more food and clothes, and we're going to do that. But the greatest gift that we deliver as the church of the living God is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We carry the message, and as witnesses, that's what we've been empowered to do. Preach the gospel. That's right. And that's for all of us here today. Oh, I can't do it like you. He didn't say get a mic. He didn't say get in up on a pulpit. He said carry the good news with you. Give hope to everybody. So let's look a little closer at intentional generosity here for the next few moments. Being pressured or being pressured by others to be generous isn't an option. I was pressured growing up in church. I was pressured by others to be generous. And God did not include that in his ministry. Jesus did not pressure people to follow him. He didn't pressure people to give into his ministry. That was not part of his ministry. This is a powerful giving verse here, though, in 2 Corinthians 9. It'll help you better understand. We're not to be under pressure and we're not to be coerced. In verse 6, it says, remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And if you give a little, you'll get a little bit back. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. Not reluctantly. Don't be a Scrooge. Or under compulsion. Don't be under pressure. For God loves a cheerful giver. Amen. Paul's just simply saying you shouldn't be pressured or coerced. He's letting us know that, you know, when it's time to give, you should have already been in your prayer meeting. Right? You should have already had dialogue with God. You should have already put some thought in it and let the thoughts of heaven lead and guide you. Does everybody agree with this? As a believer of Jesus Christ, we're not here to debate who God is. He's first, isn't he? We've already got that concluded. We're not under pressure to worship God. We go to God and we acknowledge him and we give him what belongs to him. And he blesses us and gives us peace in return, right? He helps us. So we're not talking about debating whether or not we should give. It's just, when it's time to give, we already know because we're walking in the Spirit. We're listening. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. We've already been given the seed of what we're to do, and we do what we do intentionally, not under pressure, not under guilt. We're not being coerced to do this. Paul addresses believers that are already established in the scriptural principles of simply listening, following, and giving. They're being stewards of the Most High. You know, my job is to train and to teach God's principles to those that want to take advantage of, you know, pastors and teachers and prophets to point out the kingdom opportunities and just to get out of the way and let you and Jesus demonstrate his generosity together. Just get out of the way and let you and him have fun. And so how do we decide to walk with Jesus and have fun doing this generous thing intentionally? How do we do that? I have a giving filter that I use. We have opportunities. And I just don't respond spontaneous because of opportunities. I'll just do that now. Spontaneous giving is not a bad thing, but it needs a filter. Everybody say it needs a filter. Amen. When you give, every one of you need to have God's filters involved. And so I want to show you three giving filters that will help you be generous at the right time. The first filter is this, the relationship question. That's the number one filter. It's not the number one. The number one is going to be number three today, but today is the first one on the list. The relationship question. Am I in a relationship with those I'm being generous to? Am I in a relationship with them? Who will I be committing to relationally? We need to ask ourselves that question. Am I prepared to commit to that relationship? And God builds his kingdom relationally always. You see, God accomplishes his will by putting each of us in strategic relationships. There is no such thing as an accidental relationship. I know some of us want to think there was. No such thing. He connects us with certain people and groups for the purpose of advancing his kingdom. Is anybody getting this? God connects us. And I know some of these people you're connected with, again, I know they're difficult. And they rub your proverbial hair the wrong way. Rub mine off. But God's in love with them. It wasn't an accident. He's a relational God. You see, God even says this of himself. I am the God of Abraham, of Jacob, and of Isaac. He's telling us that he's a family kind of God. And I'm going to put you in a family. This is what Daddy's telling us. And I want you to know, amen, that I want to work within you as a family. Aren't you connected? So who will I commit to relationally? Those questions are important. And you've got to know that if you're going to make a commitment to that relationship, that you're in it, amen, for God. You're in it to pursue his will in that relationship. And it may bring sorrow at times to you, but God's saying, trust me. I'm going to get you to where, amen, you're going to see the fruit come out of it. Who am I willing to be in covenant with? Everyone of us need to use that filter when we're being generous. Honestly, one of the things that bothers me about the generation that we're serving right now is that they pursue relationships for convenience, not covenant ones. This generation that we're serving, the millennials, it's not about covenant. It's more about just convenience. They don't want to be accountable, which verifies the fact that they don't trust God. So they got a God issue in their life. And they actually saying, you know, the first time I don't feel like loving you, well, I'm going to stop loving you. Amen. Anybody ever felt that before? First time somebody hurts your feelings, it's like, dude, you don't deserve my love. I'm going to retract it. But we need to come back to our families. We need to come back to our relationships. We need to focus on our marriages. And we need to get back invested. We need to get committed and say, hey, I ain't going anywhere. I'm in this to the end. And the Lord will decide when the end is. Amen. My first covenant is to God. My first covenant is to God. I actually belong to him. Does anybody believe that about yourself? I belong to God, that he purchased me. I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. I know it's Christianese, as many of you, but if you read your Bible, you'll find it right there that God purchased you, and he took, amen, that purchase. He's not making anybody do anything, but he owns us. Now, personal commitment to God, and most of us would do well if we would sit down and write out what our personal commitment to God really is. why we should be a slave to God by choice. I know it's a bad word to most people in our culture, but it's all over the world. But I'm talking about a love slave. I'm talking about, I'm in it. Lord, what you did for me 2,000 years ago, I'm giving my life over to you. I am committed to you because what you did committed to me. I didn't deserve what you did for me. I'm all in. And you do it by choice. And so I've got a few things that, you know, that my wife and I, we agree together that these things are, we're committed to in our relationship with God. And both of us agree that God owns us and that we always check with God first. Get up in the morning. My flesh don't want to pray, but my spirit's saying, I need God. And so automatically, because I just know it's the right thing to do, your flesh is, you have to make it submit. You have to make it be subject. And you make it yield, and you make that mouth say, Lord, how great is your name. Oh, you're awesome. Your kingdom come. Not my kingdom, your kingdom come. Your will be done. And you just start talking to him about his kingdom and his name and him providing what you need today in the spirit. You'll be surprised all of a sudden you can just feel the wind of God's spirit blow all over you. You check with him first. He owns you. The second thing that me and my wife agree on is that we give a full tithe of our income, amen, back to the church that we're invested in and we serve and worship with. We pour our life into New Life Fellowship. First thing we do, amen, when we get anything of value, there's a tithe of that going back to that church family, which is to God. Amen. We discipline our spending to support the 10-10-80 rule principle. You know, starting with that 10% tithe, amen, then we go to 10% savings and giving. And then we have 80% that we can live on, but we live on it with the Lord leading, and we know that that 80% is blessed. It's blessed because we put God first. We made sure that the spirit of mammon is not on anything that we hold valuable in our life. The way we get that spirit of mammon off of it is by recognizing God's first. And the moment I recognize he's Lord, that thing, that money, or that valuable that I hold in my hand is blessed. We agree on that. Another thing that me and her agree on, that we want to avoid debt. We don't want the money that God's given us to go to the wrong place. And if we're in debt, it goes to the debtor, right? And so we're working to be debt free, and we're focusing that principle on everything about this property here. We're moving that direction. And so New Life is living by that principle. New Life is giving and saving, amen, and being a blessing. So we also make an effort to be generous on every occasion. There, whatever occasion that may be presented to us, we're listening, we're talking together. We communicate, and we're going to be available to be generous intentionally in every occasion. Relationally, everyone needs to find a church family. Everybody needs to be rooted, grounded, and settled. Does anybody agree with that? It's a key if we honor God and his grander purpose is to be grounded, to be connected. And what he called, the way the Lord talks through Paul to the church, he said, every member being fitly joined. Here's the promise. Psalms 92:13. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Amen. We don't go to church. We are the church. Right? It's not about playing. We're playing in Daddy's playground, but we're his kids. But we are the church of the living God. And so know this. Growth Track, if you haven't been a part of Growth Track, step two today. Amen. If you're not connected, you can be connected, and you can learn about how to be connected to New Life Fellowship just by going through our Growth Track process. It's wonderful. Matter of fact, I'm in Growth Track two today, so you have to put up with me if you go in step two today. Here's the second filter on intentional giving, generosity. And that is the difference question. The question goes like this: will my generosity make an eternal difference? That's the second filter. When I'm generous, is what I'm investing going to point to the eternal purpose? Everyone has to be trained in this. No one's excluded. Why? Not all charity is the same. and not all giving is the same. Just the fact that you're generous is not good enough. Are y'all hearing this? It has to make an eternal difference for it to matter to God. Let me say that again. When you're generous, it must make an eternal difference for it to matter to God. God doesn't mind you being nice to people, even if they are not saved. We're not putting nice down, okay? However, your giving should be strategic in getting people to heaven. If you're going to be moving forward and you're going to suck in some ozone right now, the important fact is you took that breath and you gave it to God for His purpose. Just telling you, when you invest every breath that you breathe in the relationship you have with God, it will come back to you. Amen. Pressed down, shaking together, and running over. What we're talking about. We're not talking about money there. We're talking about God's mercy. We're talking about God's justice. We're talking about God's essence. Will men give into your bosom? Wow. I don't know about y'all, but giving the right way is important. 1 Corinthians 3:12 says it this way. If any man build on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, and straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work if what he has built survives. If it shows up in heaven. Are you getting this? He will receive his reward. Paul is letting the church know, when you give, give intentionally. Make sure your giving is strategic and it points others to heaven. This is the last one, and I'll close with this. Third filter, the God question. Is God speaking to me about generosity today? Is God speaking to me when I wake up in the morning on what I should be generous about and how I should do it intentionally? And this is my joy, because I'm always talking about everybody. Everybody needs to be following Jesus. And if you follow Jesus, He calls you His sheep. And as a sheep, He says, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. There's nothing greater. That's the number one point you can make. That's the number one filter today if you're going to operate in generosity, is filter it through hearing the voice of God. And so there's nothing more fun than a Christian knowing that they're on assignment. Man, when you know that you know that you know, and you know you're supposed to be involved in this generous act intentionally, you know you're on assignment. God has trusted me to be involved in this generous act. And so maybe today you've decided that, man, I'm going to Papa Do's today after service. I know the temptation is I'm going there for that crawfish triple delight. But I have to pause for station identification, right? And I have to ask myself, okay, now, Daddy, I'm going over there to Papa Do's, and I'm really not. Boy, it sure does sound good. But since I'm going there, is there anybody you want me to talk to? And I need you to help me, Daddy, focus on the eternal purpose of me being able to enjoy that crawfish triple delight. Because there's treasure there that I don't want to miss investing in generously. And I need you to talk to me right now, because somebody may be hurting. That waiter or that waitress may be going through a storm. And what they need is to be to knock their socks off being generous and giving them a wow tip. And with that tip, a card that lets them know the Lord wants you to know you're special and He loves you. We have to be on point. And the enemy's working overtime to stop us from taking advantage of these opportunities. Amen. When you get home from work, ladies and gentlemen, on your way home, you need to be asking God, what can I do to speak life into my family? You may have had a hard day at work, and the enemy's used some challenging situations where you try to be generous at work too, But I'm going home now, and I'm not going to tell you what to say because the Lord wants to tell you what to say. He wants to put it in your spirit. He wants you to know your own assignment. The key to success in Christ in life is to realize that we're rich and we listen to what God has to say. Amen. Will God go overboard? Will He go way out there to reach somebody? Will He go a long ways to touch somebody's life? I remember a visitor visited one of our church services back in home. It's been about 30 years ago. And I was praying early one morning, you know, learning how to give God the first part of the day. And I was learning how to listen. I wanted to teach me how to hear your voice. I want to know what you want me to do today. I want to waste another day missing out on what you do, because I know you're doing stuff, Daddy. And he put it in my spirit. He said, I want you to go visit that. And he put her face in my mind's eye and said, I want you to go now. Oh, man, it's 6:30 in the morning. I got another young minister to go with me. And 7 o'clock, it's still dark. Tall trees there. And we knocked on the door. And when that lady opened the door, she was amazed to see us standing there. And her amazement was tied to the fact that she just went to her bedroom to get the revolver and end her life, and she couldn't find it, and she's looking for it. She didn't know where. She said, I know it was there. And her and God met for the first time in her living room, and she was filled with the Spirit right there in that room. Number one reason for you being generous is listen to what God has to say about it. Pay attention. Matthew 9:35 says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, healing every disease and sick. That's pretty generous, isn't it? How did he do it? When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. Can we stand right now? Can we really bless our kids and pour into them in this community? Can we do that? Can we bless the single mothers, the orphans, the fatherless, the elderly? Can we do that? Can we do that? Can we listen to and can we go for what God wants us to do so we're on assignment? Can we do that? I'm talking about intentional generosity. That's who Jesus is. When you say his name, it reflects his name. Amen. Can we invite someone to a Sunday service to come taste and see that the Lord is good? Can we encourage someone to be a part of a small group where they can experience freedom on an ongoing, developing basis? Can we do that? For the next 2 months, amen, we are going to put a little extra effort in and ramp up intentional generosity. But I want to say this, I'm not telling you what to do and I'm not pressuring you. I'm letting you know the opportunities and I'm asking you to have fellowship with Daddy. Because, by the way, if you've got anything, it's because of his grace you got it. And if you say yes to him on the journey, then you give him reason to give you more than what you need so that he can touch more lives that he's passionate about. Is this okay? Can I pray for you right now about this? Amen. Father, I thank you for this word today. I thank you for the evidence of your conviction. The spirit of condemnation had no place in this message today. But we are convicted to the fact that you're an advocate. You're a mediator. You know how to make what's wrong right real quick. And so, since you say that we're rich, and since you say that we're blessed, we recognize this today, that we're blessed, not for our benefit, but for others, for your benefit and the purpose of your kingdom. You don't prosper us to be prosperous. You prosper us to be a blessing. You have given us great responsibility with the blessing you have entrusted into our care. Lord, we're not sure yet if we get it all right. Pretty sure we miss it more than we want to talk about. So we ask you, Daddy, help us today. Empower us. During these next 2 months, Lord, put it into our hearts what it means to follow you in generosity. Help us to release unprecedented generosity upon our community and upon our children. Move us with the same compassion that you had for the people. Speak to us. Inspire us to do it with cheerfulness. We want to be just like you, Daddy. Help us to do it intentionally. Help us to use these filters to honor you and to point everything to eternity and to your purpose. And everybody say an amen.